sing the first two and the seventh verse.
Good morning. Welcome into the house of the Lord. We thank God for each one who has come. And we thank God for guests to have Jonathan and Nicole here. And we welcome them and thank the Lord that they could come. We also received a newsletter from the Nepomuceno Children's Home, and I'll leave it on the table over there for those who want to look at it. I'm not sure if there are any other announcements that need to be announced. But if not, pray for Brother Harry as he would have this service this morning. And we thank God for that. I'd also like that we could sing hymn number 163, My God, This Heart I Bring to Thee.
Good morning. I think I really like hymn 163. Our heart needs to be given to the Lord, and that we be able to receive His heart. Let's bow to pray. Father, we come before You with thankful hearts that we are in this place, that we can come before You to hear Your word spoken, sung, and taught. We thank You for what we've already learned today about humility. And now as we open Your word again, that You would teach us again of how we need to be thankful for who You are. We are thankful for everyone that is in this place. We are thankful for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us. watch over us, guide us, strengthen us. May we rely on your Holy Spirit to guide us. We pray this all, Lord Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. During my daily Bible reading, I'm in 1 Kings, and I was reading about Solomon building the temple and then bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. And that reminded me of when David wanted to move the Ark to Jerusalem. So our reading will be from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. But before we actually read the text, we need to go back and see the full context. And we need to go back about 90 years. Samuel was growing up in Shiloh, where the Ark was, the tabernacle, and Eli was the priest. Eli's sons were also priests, but they were not good guys. They did evil in terms of how they treated the people. They just were not good. And the Philistines and Israel were at war again, and the battle was going against Israel. So someone smart said, let's go get the Ark and bring it to the camp, the battle camp. So they did bring the Ark, representing the Lord, Yahweh, into the camp. They almost treated the Ark like a good luck charm. If it's here with us, then we know God will be with us. If it's missing, then it has been missing, so things are not going good. So they did. Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, brought the Ark into the camp, and all the Israelites cheered. They were so encouraged by the presence of the Ark. And the Philistines heard that commotion, and they were worried. They said, what just happened? And they heard that the Ark of the Covenant, representing the Lord, was in the camp of the Israelites. That's not good for us. We are really going to have a hard time now. But the Philistines encouraged themselves and fought so hard that they defeated the Israelites. And they captured the Ark, and both Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were killed. Word got back to Eli that his two sons were killed, and the Ark was taken captive, captured by the Philistines. And we don't know, but maybe he had a heart attack. He fell off where he was sitting, broke his neck, and he died at 98 years old. So Israel was devastated by all of this. The Philistines, though, were overjoyed. They had captured the Ark representing the Lord. And they took it into their temple of their god Dagon in Ashdod. That did not go well for the Philistines. They put it into their temple one night. The next morning, they found God Dagon fallen down on the ground in front of the Ark. You know, what caused that? You know, you might not remember, or was it an earthquake that caused it? Who knows? And by the way, we had an earthquake here last night. So they stood up Dagon again that night. Dagon fell over again, and this time his head broke off. And his hands broke off. The Philistines were not very happy. So they decided, okay, we're going to take this Ark, move it out of Ashdod, and take it to another Philistine city called Gath. Now, I forgot to mention that in Ashdod, the people also started getting sick when the Ark was there. So they took the Ark to Gath, and then the Gath people started getting sick. So they decided, let's take the Ark to Ekron. And the people of Ekron said, no, We don't want this ark. Don't bring it to us. And that took some time. So after 7 months, the Philistines said, you know what? This ark is not doing us any good here. Our people are getting sick. Our God is decapitated and his arms, hands cut off. So they decided to send the ark back to Israel. So they put it on a brand new cart, took two cows and had the cows pull that ark. And the Holy Spirit led those cows to pull the ark to Israel, to the town of Beth Shemesh. And the people of Beth Shemesh were overjoyed. The ark is back. You know, so they took the wood from that cart, made an altar out of it. They took the two cows, slaughtered them, and burned them as a sacrifice to the Lord because the ark was back. But they also looked into the ark, and as a result of that, many from that town, Beth Shemesh, died. So they were unhappy now. So the people of Kiriath Jearim came and took the ark away and took it to Abinadab's house, where it stayed for many years. And then the scriptures are almost silent about what happened to the ark. It's been at Abinadab's house for many years. He's taken care of it. And it's only mentioned one time during the reign of Saul. So, you know, Samuel was the prophet after Eli died. And then soon thereafter, they picked God picked Saul to become king, and only one time during the reign of King Saul is the ark mentioned. In 1 Samuel, they brought the ark again to a war camp. Saul said, "Let's bring the ark to us." That's the only mention of it. Otherwise, it's been silent. So you wonder, who was the high priest in those days? Was there sacrifices made? It's the scriptures are silent. But then in 1 Samuel 14:23, it says, "The Lord saved Israel that day." So yes, the ark was in that camp, and they did win. But it wasn't the presence of the ark that made them win. It was the Lord made them win. Again, there's no mention of the ark again after that. Not until David becomes king. And then it's 7+ years into his kingdom, into his reign, before the ark is mentioned again. So David comes, becomes king, 7 years in Hebron, then he becomes king of all Israel, and he captures Jerusalem, also called Zion, and he captures Jerusalem, kicks out the Jebusites, and establishes Jerusalem as his capital city, and he calls it the City of David. And he builds houses there for himself and his wives. And then he decides, I'm sure with the Lord's leading, to build a tent, a tabernacle for the ark. It was at Shiloh first, then it went to Nod, then it went to Gibeon. So it's traveled in many different places. So he wants to bring that ark into Jerusalem. They go to Abinadab's house. It's been there for many, many years. And they put it on a cart. And they go 7.5 miles to Jerusalem. Halfway on that trip, the oxen stumble a little bit. And Uzzah, one of the people who is there guiding the ark, touches out to try to steady the ark because he didn't want it to fall. And he dies on the spot. And everybody is devastated. You know, they're doing this to bring the ark to Jerusalem, and all of a sudden one of the men who's there to help dies from touching the ark. So they stop the procession. They take the ark to somebody who's living nearby, Obed-Edom's house, and they leave it there. David tried to do the right thing. Bringing the ark to Jerusalem wasn't wrong. Did they put that ark on a cart? Because that's what happened 70, 80 years before when it came from the Philistines back to Israel. Was it simply a logical thing to do? We don't know. Have we done the same thing, though? When we try to run our lives, we try to do what we think is right. We might even pray about what we should do. And we ask God to guide us, and we kind of suggest maybe it should be done this way. That's not the way to do it. The Bible says, after Uzziah died, that David feared the Lord. He was devastated by what happened. And it's good. We all need to fear the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And we should always seek wisdom. Not man's wisdom, but God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:24 tells us that Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. There is a great divide between God and man. And we read that in that last parable this morning in Bible class, where the publican says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He knew he did not meet God's standard. And there's nothing that man can do to meet God's standard. There is a great divide between God and man. And Jesus came to bridge that great divide. There's a bridge to cross the great divide. A way was made to reach the other side. The mercy of the Father cost His Son His life. His love is deep. His love is wide. There's a cross to bridge the great divide. Silence, trying to fathom the distance, looking out across the canyon carved by my hands. God is gracious. Sin would still separate us were it not for the bridge His grace was made us. His love will carry me. God is faithful. On my own I'm unable. He found me hopeless alone and sent a Savior. He's provided a path and promised to guide us safely past all the sin that would divide us. His love delivers me. Oh, there's a bridge to cross the great divide. Oh, a way was made to reach the other side. The mercy of the Father cost His Son His life. His love is deep. His love is wide. There's a cross to bridge the great divide. David eventually repented of his sin. And 3 months later, he wanted to move the ark again. And he heard that the Lord had blessed the home of Obed-Edom during those 3 months that the ark was there. In 1 Chronicles 15:2, it says, "Then David said, 'None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever.'" Scripture does not tell us how David learned that the Levites were to carry the ark. But the implication is that someone looked into the Scripture, researched it, and then told David. In the same way, we need to look into the Scripture. We need to see how we should live based on what the Bible tells us. So let's now read in 1 Corinthians Chronicles 16, verses 1 through 36. 1 Chronicles 16, starting in verse 1. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next him Zechariah, Jael, and Shamermoth, and Jehiel, and Matthai, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael, with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also, and Jehaziel, the priests, with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant, the words which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, and the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another kingdom, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my people no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvel works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it not be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen. And praised the Lord. two things come to mind at the beginning of this chapter. First of all, it says that David provided food, a loaf of bread, a piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine to every man and woman in Israel. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people. They must have been baking bread for weeks to make that much bread. And then at the end of that introduction, the number of musical instruments that were used to praise the Lord were large. Psalteries, harps, trumpets, even cymbals were used. In David's time, it was important to use as many instruments as possible to bless the Lord. And then David was moved by the Holy Spirit to write this psalm. It is full of instruction on how we need to live, on how we need to respond to what God has done for us. And note how often David says, ask God for something. Go back and read it. Think about that. How often does David say you should ask God for something? So, giving thanks is a frequent theme in this psalm. And we need to give thanks to the Lord for everything He has given us. Even things that we really didn't want, we need to give thanks. Singing is a recurring theme in the psalm. Singing in David's time is, I'm sure, significantly different than singing in 2025. But David says we need to sing to the Lord because of who He is and what He has done. And for us today, that includes singing about our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, for who He is and what He has done. And another theme, a recurring theme, is to proclaim the Lord for all that He has done. And it's to proclaim the Lord to the people of Israel, but also to the whole world, so that the heathen will know that He is God. Not just any God, but the God, the one who made it all. And it says we need to glory in His name. We need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. We need to worship the Lord. We need to fear the Lord. All these themes are repeated throughout Scripture, and they're reemphasized in the New Testament, that we need to do all these things: glory, rejoice, seek, worship, fear. And it's not something that we just say, okay, I did it last week, so that's good enough. In essence, we should do these every day of our lives. We need to wake up in the morning with thanksgiving. We need to have the joy of the Lord on our lips. And when things go bad or difficult or whatever, we still should rejoice because we know who we know. We know the Lord Jesus Christ lives within us. And even when things get difficult, we still need to rejoice. In verse 34, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." That verse, that theme, is repeated many times in the Psalms. And that word mercy really means, and I like this old translation better, loving kindness. The word mercy has two different meanings. This meaning here is loving kindness. It's almost like our word grace in the New Testament. It's not getting what we deserve. It's God giving us His love, His kindness, even though we don't deserve it. for his loving kindness endureth forever. And in verse 35, and say ye, save us. That word save us is the Hebrew word Hosanna. Remember when they said to Jesus, Hosanna to the Lord? You know, that comes from a different Psalm, 118 I think it is. But it's the same Hosanna here. Save us. Hosanna means to save us. We need to be thankful that we are saved or can be saved because of what Jesus has done on the cross. It is a beautiful psalm. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to read the psalm in a different translation, a more contemporary translation. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him. Yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his miracles. Exalt in his holy name. O worshippers of the Lord, rejoice. Search for the Lord and for his strength, and keep on searching. Think of the wonderful works he has done, the miracles and the judgments he handed down. O children of Israel, God's servant, O descendants of Jacob, God's chosen one, he is the Lord our God. His rule is seen throughout the land. He always stands by his covenant and the commitment he made to 1,000 generations. This is the covenant he made with Abraham and the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree and to the people of Israel as a never-ending treaty. I will give you the land of Canaan as your possession. He said this when they were few in number, a tiny group of strangers in Canaan. They wandered back and forth between nations from one kingdom to another, yet he did not let anyone oppress them. He warned kings on their behalf. Do not touch these people I have chosen, and do not hurt my prophets. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be revered above all gods. The gods of other nations are merely idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and beauty are in his dwelling. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come to worship him. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let the earth tremble before him. The world is firmly established and cannot be shaken. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Tell all the nations that the Lord is King. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst forth with joy. Let the trees of the forest rustle with praise before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, of our salvation. Gather and rescue us from among the nations, so we can thank your holy name and rejoice and praise you. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people shouted, Amen, and praise the Lord. May we live our lives as David wrote this psalm. Yesterday, because it was such a beautiful day, we sat outside, had lunch outside, and it was just so peaceful. Hearing the wind going through the trees, as it says here in the psalm, let the trees of the forest rustle with praise before the Lord. Let us take time to listen to the Lord speak to us in the commotion of this world. Let's find a place, a quiet place, and let the Lord speak to us. And let us say this psalm. Write your own psalm. And be thankful for what the Lord has done for us. Let us close by singing from Apostolic Christian Hymnal number 279. Thank ye the Lord. All six verses, and I wouldn't be surprised. I tried to look it up, but I couldn't find the source of how this hymn was written. But I wouldn't be surprised if this psalm was a key motivation for whoever wrote this psalm. Number 279, all six verses.
We thank the Lord for His presence here this morning and how He has spoken unto us in His Word and through the words that were spoken to glorify God. And I was going to suggest this hymn also and suggest that we sing all six verses, but Harry did that, and thank God for that. because people would have said, I want to sing too many verses here. But we're thankful that David wrote the psalm, that God inspired him to write that psalm, that God was speaking to the heart of David and showing how great God is and how wonderful he is, and that we should give thanks to him, to sing to him, to proclaim his word, to give glory unto him, to seek him. And when we had in Bible class before, the Pharisee and the publican praying, the publican was there wanting to praise himself, that he was doing all these good things that should be done. And the publican was there to praise God, recognizing the mercy of God, that even his mercy could reach unto a lowly person and reach unto those of a humble heart and reach unto those that need God and would want to praise him for these things that we have read. And we should be thankful for that and thank our God that he is such a merciful God, that he is such a personal God, that he comes to live within individuals, and we should thank him and praise him for that. And let's close with a prayer. Perhaps we could stand. And our Father and our God, we thank you for who you are, the mighty God that you are above all that we can ask or think. And Lord, we just thank you for what you have given unto us, and we want to praise you and give thanks to you, to sing and proclaim your word and your glory, and to seek you. And Lord, we just want to recognize of how much you love us and care for us. And Lord, we also ask that you would help us show that love unto others and to show that mercy unto others. And Lord, as we have a meal together and have the food prepared for us, we are thankful and ask a blessing upon that. And we ask upon a blessing upon this day. And we just want to praise you and honor you in all that we say and do. For we praise it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.